Hello and welcome back to the Audio DT with T in Parshas Vayera, the show where we talk a few minutes on the Parsha of the week with a few practical lessons to keep. Of course, Vayera is talking about the first of the Makos, and we're going to almost get to Yetzias Mitzrayim soon. We're talking in the beginning of the Parsha, really the beginning to the middle of the Parsha, looking at Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Bet, talking about the staffs, Aharon's staff swallowing up the other staffs. It's crazy. It's changed into a snake. Then it goes back into a rod, into a staff, and then Aharon's rod, his staff, swallowed up their rods. Now, my question is this. Why did Aharon's staff have to swallow the other ones? It's all fine and good that it changed to a snake and then changed back. So nice. What's the deal with the fact that it had to swallow the other ones? Why did it change back to a rod and then swallow the other ones? And Rashi says that Aharon's staff swallowed their staffs. After it had again became a staff, it swallowed them all. And that comes from Shabbos 97a. But the Medrash Rabba picks up and says that Hashem said, if Aharon's serpent will swallow up the serpents of the Egyptians, there will be nothing remarkable in that. For serpents usually swallow each other. Therefore, let it resume its original form and swallow up their serpents. That again comes from the Medrash Rabba. And then the Lubavitcher Rebbe picks up from that as well. He says that the Torah's ways are ways of pleasantness, and all of its paths are peace. Our task is to create light, not to battle darkness. Nevertheless, there are times when we are forced to resort to battle, when we must vanquish those who seek to vanquish us. Thus Moshe, the gentle shepherd of Israel, the humblest man on all earth, which the Torah itself attests to, and there is Aharon, the ultimate man of peace, find themselves in the role of judge and chastiser of power, crushing the might of Egypt and obliterating its icons and myths. Therein lies the lesson to be derived from the fact that Aharon's staff swallowed the serpents of the Egyptians after it had reverted back to its original form, rather than as a serpent itself. For even when he wages war, the Jew is not a warrior. Even when he consumes the serpents of the enemy, he is not a serpent himself, spewing poison and hate. His instrument of vengeance is as devoid of vengeful feeling as a petrified rod, as cold to the rage of war as a lifeless stick. Again, that comes to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. You know, many times we find ourselves in different situations where we may need to act out of character of our natural form. Conniving business deals, terrible bosses, and unruly people we may have to deal with on a daily basis need us to respond in a firm manner. We think about Yaakov when he dealt with Laban. So many years he had to deal with Laban. There's a famous song, Im Laban Garti Taryak Mitzvah Shamarti. He dealt with a very conniving person. Apparently, according to the commentators, he changed Yaakov's wage 100 times, and Yaakov had to deal with this. He married all the daughters and finally left after all that time. But when Laban came to him, Yaakov talked to him in a similar manner, explaining that if he would come in a brotherly way, if Laban would come in a brotherly, nice way, he would talk to him that way also. If he came to trick him, Yaakov would try to rise up to the challenge. Interestingly, Yaakov's midah, Yaakov's trait, is that of emes, that of truth, and he would always try to say as close to the truth as possible. You think about the brachos, when Yitzchak was giving to Esav and Yaakov, when Yaakov showed up, it must have been the ultimate test. His personal akedah, as the sages explain, because he had to find a way to get what was rightfully his, but to try to stick to the close as the truth as much as possible. So he said, who are you? And then Yaakov said, it is I. Esav is your firstborn. Some people say, I think Rashi says that there's a comma in the middle. I am who I am, and Esav is your firstborn. But when it came to dealing with Laban, he had to rise up and have to try to deal with such a challenging person. In most situations, we can't do that. We're not supposed to be trickery or cunning in such ways. But in this situation, Yaakov not only was allowed to, but really had to deal with Laban in such a manner. So this too can be a lesson for all of us. For the honor and dignity of our families and of Hashem, we must stand up and fight. Even if we think for ourselves we would stand and fight, it's not so easy to do so for ourselves, but if it is for the honor of others, it is necessary and incumbent, especially for Hashem's honor. Interestingly, we say that Moshe was the humblest of all men, and Aaron was a pursuer of peace, and these are the people that had to be chosen by Hashem. You know, Pirkei Avos teaches us in chapter 1, paragraph 12, Hillel and Shammai received the tradition from them. Hillel would say, be of the disciples of Aharon, Ohev Shalom, the Raudev Shalom, a lover of peace and a pursuer of peace, one who loves the creatures and draws them close to the Torah. So these are the two people that Hashem decided and Hashem commanded to stand up to Paro. If these were the two people who were the opposite of conflict and were the most humble and the most peaceful, were able to stand up to the occasion and stand up to the superpower of the world and to the most obstinate ruler of the time who was doing backbreaking labor and work on the people, how much more so we should try to do so as well. We should try to stand up and do so as well. In this vein, we should do all we can to enhance the light of this world and bring sanctifications to God's name in whatever ways we can. We are here not only to change our midos, to change our traits, to work on ourselves, but also to work on the world. Each one of us with our dalet arva avos, we're supposed to carve out, make the world a better place, fix the world, be mitaken the olam, be do our part in tikkun olam. And when we go and we daven, we should wear our talisim and tefillin proudly in a safe manner, and we should wear our kippahs around if it's not too dangerous to do so. I happen to wear my kippah inside the school, but outside the school I do not. This way I want them to know that I'm working with the kids and I'm trying to do a good job as an upstanding Jewish guy and hopefully bringing some sanctification to God's name. And we could all do that in our jobs and in our lives, inside and outside the house. And we should also do our ways to try to espouse truth, justice, and peace to make the world a better place in the Torah way. And even if by nature we are docile and quiet, for the honor of our families, for the honor of our friends, and for the honor of Hashem, especially to sanctify God's name, to do a Kiddush Hashem, to make the world a better place in as much a manner as we can possibly, utilizing our talents and our abilities and our unique traits, which no one else has, no one else will ever have, and no one else before us had. Therefore, we can stand tall and proud and run like a lion to do the will of the one above, hopefully making the world a better place and bringing Mashiach speedily in our days. Join us next time as we talk the audio DT with Reb T.